When I moved to Houston back in 1992, I lived in the west side of town, right off of Westheimer, right outside the Beltway. And Ramona and I, we started looking for a church. And everyone said, oh, go to Second Baptist. We went there, and I was like, this is bigger than my city, okay? This is bigger than where I came from. So I didn't fit in there. I'll admit I didn't give it much of a chance. It was overwhelming for this guy who came from Shreveport, Louisiana, and then lived in Ruston, Louisiana. I think Second Baptist is bigger than Ruston. No kidding. And then we found this little church, and fell in love with the pastor, Dr. Rodney Wu. And man, he was just such a good fit for me. He really, Monty Jones was the music minister, and both of them really kind of took me under their wing. I remember going to play golf on Saturdays with Rodney and Monty, and man, they just really helped me because in my college years, I won't say I went off the deep end, I just wasn't pursuing the Lord. And they really helped me gain that passion again for what it was to follow after the Lord. Well, you know, the story goes that eventually I felt called to the ministry and I finally went to seminary in the first class I took. But my first seminary class was 1 Corinthians. Matter of fact, you might want to go ahead and turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And guess who my professor was? Dr. Rodney Wu. So now the pastor who had really gotten me hungry for the gospel again is now, I'm sitting in his class and he has a reputation. As great as a friend as he was to me, I mean, we were pals, we were buddies. In seminary, everyone knew, you take Rodney Wu, get ready. He is tough. And I was like, can't we just be pals again? And I remember he assigned my first sermon I ever wrote in seminary was 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 through 34. And I remember when I turned in the sermon to him, first of all, he said, Paul, that was a lot. I mean, I thought, okay, I am going to nail this thing. I researched every little possible in and out of this passage and went all over the map and turned in this massive, it might as well have been a dissertation. And he was like, way too much. You'll never preach that. And I was like, no, I will. And that's prophecy right there. But I remember, of course, he was gracious in one way. And another way, he was like, I realize that's your first sermon. We got a long way to go. But anyway, I come to you this morning preaching 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 through 34. And I'm actually going to not preach what I wrote those many years ago. But I do want to jump into this passage. I want to read it to you, and then we are actually going to partake of the Lord's Supper. And this is an issue that the Apostle Paul has to address the church in Corinth. So let me pray, and we'll read this passage together and see what the Lord wants to say to us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I first want to come and say thank you for putting Dr. Wu and Monty Jones in my life. Thank you for the way that they helped me, that they helped steady my vision, that they help put you in clarity. Lord, I thank you for the days that I got to sit not only under Dr. Wu as a pastor, but as a professor. And Lord, I pray that you would bless once again the reading of this passage and the preaching of this passage. I pray that you will let us hear it as a church with open ears and open minds. That, Lord, you'll convict us where we are falling short, and you will encourage us where we are adhering to your word. Lord, I pray that it is preached accurately and it is heard accurately this morning. It's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. Would you please stand as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 17. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, is it not the Lord's Supper that you eat? For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. Would you please be seated? You know, we've stated from the very beginning, back from when we had that meeting up in the youth room, and the people who decided, okay, we're going to go help be a part of starting this church, we stated from the beginning that we were building this church for those who didn't even know they were coming here yet. Back when we had that meeting in that room, most of you, the vast majority of you, I had never even met before. You didn't know me. You didn't know this church was about to happen. And somewhere along the line, our paths crossed. But what we didn't say when we were in that room is we want to build a church for us. We were saying we wanted to build it for those who didn't even know they were coming here yet. And I would ask, is that truly who we are as a church today? Are we wanting to get on that property and get some buildings put there because that's what we want for us? Or are we saying, no, this is a much bigger picture than just what I want? I'm often asked, is it really necessary for Christians to go to church? And certainly I can point to the passage in Hebrews where it says, do not neglect meeting together. But here in this passage, we have a situation where Paul even says, you coming together and partaking of the Lord's Supper, it's not for the good, it's for the worse. This is not a good thing. And I pray that the Lord will never look upon our church and say, y'all coming together, it's for the worse. It's detrimental to you as individuals that you come together corporately. And so what is Paul trying to tell us in this passage? And I'm going to hit on these points very quickly because we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. And so the first thing I want you to notice is that the Lord's table is a table of unity. And the problem here is there is disunity in the church in Corinth. And this is a huge problem. Matter of fact, he says, there are divisions here. It is not good that the church is divided. And you'll notice he mentions that there must be factions. And you may be going, well, a faction and a division, isn't that the same thing? And it's not. It's not the same thing. Matter of fact, Paul uses two different Greek words there. The first word that he uses for division is schism. It's where we get our word schism. It is the act of separating into two different parts. In other words, he's saying, look, some of your actions, you are deciding to be divided based upon who you are and what you do and your status in the church, and you are dividing one another. But then he goes on to say that, hey, there must be factions, and by the way, that's where we get our word heresy. So he's looking at two different words, and he says, there should be factions in your church. Matter of fact, Paul is upset that in chapter 5 there's immorality going on in the church. And guess what? He says there's a problem here because there isn't a faction. There isn't anyone going, hey, this is wrong. We are going to separate ourselves from what is wrong here. And he gets onto the church for not creating a faction then. But he says, as far as these divisions go, this is not a good thing. The problem is that they are not unified. There is disunity. And what is the cause of the disunity? Well, he answers that question for us. He says, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. I'm often asked, hey, when I go visit people, hey, how often does the church partake of the Lord's Supper? How often do y'all do the Lord's Supper? That's not really the question. The question is, how do we take the Lord's Supper? Not how often, but how do we take it? The context that's happening here, where there's division, and let me tell you what's going on in the Corinthian church, is the rich people, the people who, by the way, there's not a day off to go to church. The rich people are getting to church early, and they are partaking of the Lord's Supper. And by the way, it wasn't separate like this. It was part of a love feast, how appropriate, on Valentine's Day. It was part of a love feast, and the Lord's Supper was incorporated into that feast. And so the rich people were getting there, and they were going inside, and they were partaking of this feast, and they had all the best food and all the best wine, and the poor people were getting there, and they didn't have all that. And it was creating a division in the church. And the problem was, is they were partaking of the Lord's Supper, but what they had done is they had made it their supper. They had neglected that it was the Lord's Supper. And yet, what is the Lord's Supper? Why are we called to partake of it? It is to remember that the Lord gave of Himself. He gave His body. He gave His blood. He gave His life. And yet they were coming together saying, this is mine, mine, mine. Matter of fact, the Greek actually says, each goes ahead with his own supper. So the rich were going there going, man, this is some good food that I brought, and I'm going to go ahead and eat it and forget about the other people. I'm not going to give it to them. I'm going to make it my own supper. And there's disunity there because what's happening is there's this individuality saying, this is about me. Now, someone may say, well, where do you go to church? And I'll say that Summer Creek Baptist is my church. But it doesn't belong to me. This is the Lord's church. It doesn't belong to me. And we need to be unified by realizing that this church is not about you. And it's not about me. It is about the glory of God. That's the reason, that's in our mission statement. Engaging people through Jesus Christ to transform lives for our glory, for the pastor's glory, for the elder's glory, for the deacon's glory, for the Sunday school teacher's glory, for our church growth glory. No, for the glory of God, for God's glory. And the problem was, is they were too interested in themselves. You see, as individuals, this church is not ours. We are simply a part of the body. Now, I used this illustration before, and that is this hand. This hand could get very selfish and say, look what I do for you, body. I'm the one who got you dressed this morning. I'm the one who brought the food to your mouth. I'm the one who combed your hair. I'm the one who was steering the car. I'm the one who did all of these things for you, body, so you ought to be grateful to me. And if you're not grateful, you know what? I may separate myself from you. And all the time, guess what? In all the time that the hand was dressing me and combing my hair and feeding me and driving, the body was supplying life to the hand. It was the one giving it the blood, the oxygen. It was the one taking the waste away. As a matter of fact, as soon as this hand says, I've had enough of you, body, because you're not doing enough for me. You didn't groom me, you groomed your hair. You didn't do anything to the hair on my hand. So I'm leaving. Guess what? That hand begins to die. Matter of fact, those who say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't necessarily belong to a church, I promise you, they're in the process of dying. They are not growing in their faith. Show me one. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the Duns. I'm done with church. I'm just going to do my, I promise you, they are now in the process of dying. The thing about iron sharpening iron, it's not just iron sharpening. You've got to have another piece of iron there to sharpen. And so, yes, listen to me. You as individuals, you as part of the body, we need you. Just the same way as I really don't want to lose this hand. I really don't. I use this hand all the time. It's my dominant hand. It's the one that writes for me. It helps me type. It is. It helps me get dressed. It helps me do everything that I do. I never want to lose this hand. But listen to me. We need you, but you need us. You need the church as well. And these individuals who are getting together and having their own supper, Paul says, what shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. I will not commend you in this. So the church, the Lord's Supper is a table of unity. And I'm going to skip verse 23 through 26. We'll do that when we partake of the Lord's Supper and go right to verse 27. Because he says, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. And then he gives instruction. Let a person examine himself. So the second thing I want you to know is not only the Lord's Supper a table of unity, it's a table of examination. It's a table of examination. Dr. Criswell told a story that he was administering the Lord's Supper, and week after week, they did it on a weekly basis, this man didn't partake. And he noticed over and over, he never partook of the Lord's Supper. He said, why aren't you participating with us? And the man said, Scripture says that if you're not worthy, you're not to partake. That is not what Scripture says. If Scripture says that, we wouldn't even be doing this because none of us are worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. Worthy is an adjective which describes a noun. I am not worthy. But the King James Version actually does it a little bit better when it says, by taking it worthily, which is an adverb, it describes an action. And we, even though we're not worthy to take it, we can partake in a worthy manner. So what do? We examine ourselves. Are we ready to take this supper? This is a stern warning that if you're not, sickness and death. That's for God's. By the way, this warning is for God's children. So if that's the warning for God's children, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, if that's the warning for God's children, you should not partake of the Lord's Supper if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because again, we're talking about this is a table of unity. You're not unified with Christ. You're not unified with the church, and so you should not take the Lord's Supper if you don't know the Lord. But we should take it in a worthy manner. We are to examine ourselves and ask the question, can I take this in a worthily or in a worthy manner? Although I am a sinner, do I seek forgiveness in Christ? Even though I am selfish, do I seek for the good and unity with my brothers and sisters of Christ? Have you examined yourself? Where is your heart and where are your thoughts? Can you participate today? And church, listen to me. Please hear me. If you pass the tray that has the bread or the tray that has the juice and someone says, no thank you, or passes it on, we are not to judge them. They are to be judging their own heart. They are to be looking at where they are with the Lord. The question is not, if you're a sinner, we are. The question is, are we repentant sinners? Have you examined yourself? In just a moment, the deacons are going to come forward and we're going to administer the Lord's Supper. This table of unity, this table of self-examination. Are you ready to partake in the Lord's Supper? The third thing that I want you to see is that this is a table of history. You'll notice that Paul says, this is what I received and I have given it to you. When we take of the Lord's Supper, we are united with all of the saints in that they were looking to the day that the Messiah would come. Jesus Christ was that Messiah, and he came for a specific purpose, to redeem God's people for God's glory. Paul speaks to that occasion. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread and given thanks and broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So we look back at history. We look back and remember. I've shared with you before, it is important to look back. It's important to remember those very specific moments in time. Very soon, we will celebrate Easter. What do you think we're doing? We are looking back to the resurrection of Christ, to be reminded who he was and what he did. So I'm going to ask the deacons to come forward. And congregation, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Are you ready to partake of the Lord's Supper? Is there sin that you're running to and you need to say, Lord, forgive me for that. Give me the strength to flee. Are you unified with the body? Is there someone that you need to go talk to and say, you know what, I've harbored ill will against you. I have not been an instrument for unity. I've been an instrument for disunity. Remember, Paul says, I will not commend you for this. I will not. So it is a table of unity. It's a table of examination. It is a table of history. And certainly it is a table of expectation. Jesus says, I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. You know, if you haven't experienced it, there will be a day in your life where you'll think, Lord, please come. Because life is tough, amen? He is coming. It may not be that day. It might be. But he is coming. And we are to remember until he comes. And one day, no more sorrow, no more tearful eyes. And I have to say, I love this one. No more goodbyes. We will be with our Heavenly Father in heaven, rejoicing. No matter what is going on and the difficulty that you encounter, the day is coming when we will be united with Christ. There will be no more need for hope, no more need for faith, only love. And we will see with our eyes what we have been longing to see. We will join him forever. That's what this passage is talking about. I want to invite you that if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can join with us. You can be unified with us. Because it is the Lord that gives you the ability to examine your heart. Until the Lord comes into your life, you can't even see your heart. And then he sheds light and you see who you really are in the light of Christ. And if he's doing that and you're going, oh my word, I need a Savior. I need Jesus. It is that faith. It is that calling out. It is that belief in him as Lord and Savior that saves you. Nothing that you've done, nothing that you ever could do. It is simply faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? And I want to invite you to take that first physical step of faith and come forward during the invitation. Perhaps today you've just been struggling with something in your life. And it was tough when you began to examine yourself and say, you know what? I have been running. I've been like that hand. I thought, oh man, this church should be lucky to have me. And yet, you know what? I'm very fortunate to have this church. And maybe there's just been something that's been pulling you away from the Lord and from this local body of believers. And you just need to say, you know what? I need to get that right with the Lord. Pastor, would you pray with me and for me? I'm going to invite you to come forward. But I want to invite you to move as God tells you to move this morning. That's what I want to invite you to do. That's why we have an invitation. So Reuben's going to come up and lead the praise band, and we're going to sing together. And it's time for you to move if the Lord is telling you to move. Let's pray.